never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Ah, yes, episode 130 of The Sports Trench is here. And what a wonderful weekend of football we've just had, lads. Before we talk about the football, though, we should talk about who we have on the panel. With us, as always, the ever lovely, always in a hoodie, Fulzy. How are you, my friend?
Good, thank you, self.
Yeah, not too bad. Mate, I hear you had a trivia team last night.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, what was the name of said trivia
team? The trivia team was called Peter Herak, and it consisted of myself and a friend, Andrew.
So I wasn't there?
No.
But you named it after me?
Yeah, yeah.
I did get a photo of the leaderboard. Peter Herak was in last.
Yeah, you're in first, though, for the first round.
Yeah, so that's good. What happened?
Then the questions weren't about sport or geography.
And so then you guys were done.
Then we sucked, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, this trivia night was full on, so you could gamble a percentage of your points on getting the next answer right.
So you gambled 100%.
Then. Yeah, every time. Every time we did the max.
What was the question?
Oh, there were tons of them.
Oh,
so a lot of questions. Yeah, it was right. A whole trivia night.
How many people gambled 100%?
Don't know. It seems like not everyone like us.
So it was just you.
Probably
you
just us.
Crawford.
We were good though. It was fun. I had fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had fun. And were there any beverages partaken in?
Oh, one or two.
Oh, right, okay.
One or two.
Did that hinder your performance or enhance?
Enhance, for sure.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. All right, and the man to your right, as always, pressing the buttons, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. Muffy, how are you?
Good, I'm pressing multiple buttons today, Pete.
And is it working?
Let's see. I think so. I think we're getting there.
How was the weekend, my friend?
Good. I went away on the annual golf trip that I do by myself for the listeners.
Oh, just by yourself?
Yeah, you guys aren't invited to this one. Yes, went down to sunny Maruya.
Yes, where we successfully won Carney this year.
Yes, yes. But so good little course down there. Long course in the golf buggy, tearing it up in the golf buggy.
It is a long course. And how did you go? Results?
Got a trophy, Pete. Got a trophy.
Oh, yeah, good. What trophy is it?
It's called the Bradman.
Oh, so that's because you were the best.
Well, it's the biggest score. It's where you get the brand.
No.
It's a trophy that you don't want.
Not a good thing in golf.
No, that's good, actually.
Big scores in golf is a bad thing.
So, yeah, got a big trophy, but...
So you came last. Well, this is what you're saying.
Yeah, but I got stitched a bit. But, that's fine. What do you mean
you got stitched?
Well, I wasn't the worst player on the weekend. But because I was the captain, so the bottom five players on the first day go and be a captain, and I was just on a countback scraped in to be the last captain on a countback. And then on the second day, which is when we play Ambrose, so that's where everyone hits a ball and then you hit the best ball and blah blah blah. I actually played.
Oh, I didn't know the rules of Ambrose.
For the listeners that I go away with, Pete. I hope I'm not just sitting in a room talking to you clowns every week. I hope someone else is listening. So I played really well on that day. It was just my teammates.
Blaming your teammates. Here we go, LeBron. Yeah. I see what's going on here.
But enjoyable weekend nonetheless.
Ah, good. Excellent.
What'd you get up to, Pete?
I had basketball. We got a win on the weekend against arch rivals Wagga.
Very good.
Yes, it's always a fiery game against them. So we managed to get a win against them on the weekend. It was a bit chippy, the game, as always. Their import wasn't very happy and refused to shake hands with one of my players after the game.
Wow. Where's he imported from, Pete?
The US.
Oh, I thought in country basketball you'd have a few more random imports. Like just have...
I get contacted probably once every 2 months with someone from like Brazil or...
Yeah, get one of them in. Pay. Get one of the Czech Republics in.
Yeah, no,
I'm not getting any of those
Lithuanians.
People. Oh, no. Yes.
Why not?
No, because they're all terrible. They're not good at basketball.
We can,
the ones that contact you are not good.
But we can send Fulzy on a scouting mission to the Baltics.
No, yes.
To the Baltics.
I would not send him to scout anything for basketball.
Oh, yes. I'll be good.
No, you would not.
I'll pick up some guys for you in Kenya.
I've seen you play on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You throw the ball away all the time.
No.
Kind of like
I'm pretty good, actually.
No, incorrect.
We go scouting in... Where can we go scouting, Fulzy?
No, we're not going anywhere.
Madagascar.
Madagascar would have some big ballers, I reckon.
I think that would...
You're going to Africa, see if you can find me someone there. That's your scouting
I'll get you
trip.
The next Joel Embiid, mate.
All right.
Don't you worry.
I appreciate that.
The next Mutombo.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think you should do that. All right, what have we got this week, lads? We're going to wrap up round two, preview round three. We're going to discuss my horrible Supercoach decisions. We're going to do some Ward 4. We finally get off the goose egg, but before we do that, let's start with the news.
The good, the bad, and the...
Jared?
From the trenches.
Jared.
Old Jared. Not Jared Hayne this time, boys, but Jared Mullen. Former Knights player Jared Mullen, it's been reported that he was taken to hospital in December after overdosing on drugs. Mullen is currently sitting out a 4-year ban for steroid use from the NRL. It's also been reported that he's allegedly being investigated as part of a drug ring that's running in Newcastle at the moment, lads. Things are falling off, Mr. Mullen, wouldn't you say?
With the... There was one bit out of that news article you didn't read out, Pete. The news article that I heard referred to Jared Mullen as New South Wales Origin star Jared Mullen.
He played one game.
He played one game in 2007.
Not
and he was not a star in said game.
I heard a radio thing about Susie from The Bachelor now dating NRL superstar Todd Carney.
Not superstar, surely.
NRL superstar Todd Carney.
Is that did they use play. Those words?
Yep.
He hasn't, he hasn't been in the NRL for what?
Surely they...
3 years?
They,
you never lose those things, apparently.
Superstar.
No, they said NRL superstar Todd Carney. And I was reading an article today that was New South Wales and Australian winger Josh Mansour. He hasn't done those in a few years.
Yeah, and he's not getting picked based on his performances at the
moment
either.
No, probably not.
So in that case, can we just say, you know, Carney winners?
Yeah.
Carney superstar.
Yeah.
Pete Herrick.
Alex Fuller.
Yeah.
As we all know.
Is he is definitely not a superstar. I'm not allowing that to go through. That one is rejected.
Well, in that case, I could be former state champion Stephen Muffet.
Yeah.
Under 15s, regional soccer.
No, you don't
we
have
made
to.
This, we made the state and we were the best regional team in the state for under 15s.
Oh, God.
But I don't think...
You can't do it now. Couldn't do it then.
But no. You don't need the former there, though.
You just
so it's just regional champion.
State. Yes, state.
State's a region. Just a big region. So.
Oh, God. We've got off track already. This is going...
Sorry
going
about
to
that.
Hell in a handbasket already.
Anyway, so what do we think about Jared Mullen?
Yeah.
Stupid. Move on.
All right. Well, moving on. Luke Keary, lads. A lot of talk that he's bound for Origin. What do we think on this one?
Stupid. Move on.
Okay, good. Well, there we go. We're busting through this. We started out slow. We probably went a bit over time, but now we're just like, stupid. Move on.
That's all my reviews of the game.
It's clearly a little bit premature, but the first 2 weeks he's been playing well, but he needs to keep playing that way. And even so, look, I don't know. Is Jimmy Maloney such a bad option at 5'8 for New South Wales?
I got a few things for you. Keary is currently equal first with 4 try assists. He's currently equal third with 3 line break assists. However, he's 18th in total kick meters. Maloney is 10th with 150 additional total kick meters.
Again, not great, but small sample size. We're going on 160 minutes of football here.
Yeah, look, it's interesting.
Who's he tied with in third? Like Latrell Mitchell or someone who's not a halfback?
Yeah.
There is. Latrell Mitchell is up there, I think, with in that one. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Keary has played better than Maloney, I think, to start the year. But I think Maloney is the better kicker. and a more reliable kicker. He can't defend anyone, though. So Maloney has missed the second most tackles in the comp. Only Sione Mataitea is higher, which
really
is surprising.
A second rower. Second rower. You're sacked, mate. Yeah. You cannot.
And that'll be missing. He'll have missed the most by week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as Fulzy and I are head stat people, we need a bigger sample size, I think, Pete, to comment.
To be honest, you had no stats there, either of you. Well, you gave me nothing.
I gave you a stat of 160 minutes.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
No, that's just
simple. Move on.
It's football. That's just 2 games of football. Well done.
I knew that none of them had gone off for HIA.
Maloney went off for HIA.
No, he didn't. that's a lie.
It was a lie, but you didn't know that.
I did. That's what I said. It's a lie.
No, you didn't. You had no idea. If I had sold that harder, you would have been gone. All right. Anyway, moving on to the last story, lads. Shane Flanagan. He was caught sending a spreadsheet from his own personal email address with undisclosed third-party player payments on the 3rd of June, 2017. This is the self-reporting that the Sharks did about their extra player payments. The players who were paid were Maloney, Lewis, Graham, Holmes, Bird, Dugan, and Hyington. So literally, only Graham and Dugan left there. The rest of those guys have all left the club. So there's no evidence that all the managers were aware that these payments were against the third-party salary cap rules. But in total, the NRL identified nearly $1 million worth of deals starting in 2017 and going all the way out to 2021.
Wow. So it was, okay. So it's some, obviously they got the right man then by the sounds of it with the...
It's an interesting one because they're not breaking the salary cap because you're allowed third-party payments, but you've got to report what they are and... you've got to be, and then they've got to be above board. So, like, if you know what I mean, like, it's not like they had two sets of books like the Storm, which, look, I still think it's bad, but I'm just not sure.
He should have just put like a protection on his Excel spreadsheet.
Well, apparently, no, he sent it via email. So, essentially,
just put a lock on it. So,
he got what he deserved. Like, you know, that's just absolutely dumb.
This is starting to look like they're very lucky to keep that premiership. Like they've
started in 2017. So
but what about all the years leading in? Like the story is, for the 4 years leading into the premiership year, we were over the cap, and for the 2 years after. But the year we won the premiership, no, we were fine. So I don't know. That doesn't sit very well with me. Also, you can pay people in advance, like, oh, hey, we'll give you this if you sign unders in 16, or if you sign, we'll sign your overs in 17. I reckon the Sharks are getting off very lightly for a lot of things that other clubs have been in trouble, from drug use to all this salary cap stuff. Like, it's pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty dodgy.
But it's as if the NRL don't want to strip them because, you know, it was a good story at the time, 57 year, blah, blah, blah. It was a good story, just as in the two football codes, because both years
the Bulldogs and Sharks got up.
Teams that had never won in their current form.
Yeah. But even if you don't strip them, like, why are they playing for points this year? I don't get it. They're going very soft on these guys.
Yeah, I think it's pretty dodgy considering that's come out. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you strip them. If you do strip them, I think they end up moving to Perth or something and become a totally new club, or get moved to Wellington in New Zealand or something, because I just can't see the club and the fan base staying loyal.
Moving to North Sydney, Pete.
Why?
Just because we all want to see the Bears back in the club. Let's face it. Yeah.
Sydney doesn't need another club.
The Perth Bears. The Perth Pandas. Done.
Perth Pandas. There's no pandas in Perth. Jesus.
There's no bears either. There's no bears in northern Sydney. I'll give you the tip.
There might be.
Oh, there could be, actually.
Koala bear?
There's no panthers.
It's not technically
Penrith.
A bear, Pete.
Anyway. All right. Let's move on then, shall we, to Ward 4.
Sure, Pete.
All right.
Smashy me, that could have put him in Ward 4.
The sports trenches.
I hope not, Bill. That's a maternity ward.
Ward 4.
Big
hit this week.
Is it just loud in here, or maybe it's just,
I think you've got it up pretty loud
on the sound waves. It doesn't look that.
I think
loud.
It was just a big hit this week.
Listeners
just
will tell us.
Particularly it could, hard.
That's probably
Tevita Pangai Jr. Was it?
Yeah.
It's probably a drink there because we had to adjust the volume. It's too loud. So take a drink.
All right. Anyway, Liam Knight, he's suspended for a high tackle. He's out until round 5. Sam Lasone is also suspended for high tackle. He's out until round 5. Joseph Tapine has a broken thumb. He's out until round 5 at least. Jason Taumalolo has a grade 3 medial ligament issue, and he's out for 6 to 10 weeks. Brett Morris has a knee issue, and it's to be advised how long he's going to be out for, but he won't be playing this week.
Yeah, he certainly plugged in the ground. He took a big divot.
He did take a big divot, and that's what happened to the Roosters after he went off the field as well. See what I did there? Anyway, that's all we've got for Ward 4 this week. Real quick one, so we're going to move on.
The Sports Trench.
Round 2 review time. Thank you, madam. Thursday, 21 March, Rabbitohs 34, defeating the Dragons 18-40.
Very impressive here from the Rabbits, who came out in the second half and absolutely blitzed the Dragons for 28 unanswered points. Their left side attack for their Bunnies was just carving up. Cook was great. Sam Burgess was also a star on the edge after moving there this season. And things are really clicking for them at the moment. Things are really not clicking, though, for St. George, who I think really need to make some adjustments. Their spine just isn't working. Their forwards were tired and struggled. Aitken's never passed a ball in his life and had total tunnel vision. Hunt and Leilua next to each other in the line was an absolute disaster and gave away, I think, like 4 tries. I think it's seriously time to think about the coach if this continues. The other thing is Liam Knight, round 5, he should be gone for 10 weeks. That is one of the most atrocious tackles I think I've ever seen. That was just, it was dumb. It was horrendous.
Yeah, it was really bad. So, boys, what do we think? Corey Norman experiment. Should he go to fullback instead?
No, he should go to reserves. I think he doesn't need to be there. I think it complicates things.
I just don't think he's good enough anymore for NRL level football.
No, he's got the taste of the nose beers and he's done. I think Widdop's got to go back in that 5'8" spot, and Dufty White, he's coming off the bench for what, 15 minutes in this game or something stupid like that. Like he's quick all the time. Don't, you know, put him at fullback and make him just involve him more in the attacking players down their end. I don't see the need for him to come off the bench.
Yeah, the rumour is that him and McGregor had a bit of a falling out. They were also apparently shopping him, not shopping him, like in the off-season. It's kind of a weird situation that's going on there at the moment. So,
but I think Mary's on thin ice this year. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dragons still go the way they're going, and mid-season he could be the first one to go if he doesn't turn this around.
I think
he doesn't have a bad team.
I think he should be. That, because last year they were good enough that they came out really strong. And I get, yeah, you're missing Jack DeBellin, but you also picked up Sims, although he hasn't played yet. There's only a few tweaks he needed to make. Like, why is it this bad?
Frizzell being out has really hurt that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, again, you do have
edge defense.
Yeah, you do have a bit of a makeshift forward pack at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, very interesting for the Dragons at the moment. I think they're in a bit of trouble because I don't know if they're going to get the win this week either. And going down 0-3 is going to be real tough.
I think it's time for the coach to go, personally.
Rumour has it Trent Merrin was wanting to come back to the Big V.
Well,
the Red V.
The Big V.
they could
do a lot worse because he was phenomenal when he was there. And I guarantee he will be getting all the minutes that he wants at the Dragons.
Well, whilst Frizzell and DeBellin are out.
Well,
he's got a 4-year contract with Leeds, and apparently they've said that they're not releasing him, but sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire. So anyway. All right, moving on then. Friday, 22 March, Storms 22, defeating the Raiders 10. Murphy.
Oh dear, Pete. Oh dear. 14,000 people came out to the nation's capital for the first game for the Raiders. And
what they expect? Storms were always going to beat us. They're a better side than us.
Yeah, but would you want to be 18-0 after half an hour?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Vunivalu scored 3 tries, got a hat-trick before the Raiders ever got on the board.
Kotrick makes some very bad reads defensively.
Ooh, yeah, the first he got steamrolled in the first try. Did you see that? He got absolutely murdered. Like, he made the right read. He just couldn't hold out Vunivalu.
No,
he just went straight over top of him.
Then he let him run round him the second time.
The second time, three people run round him on the kick. That didn't help, obviously. Whiten shifts in really quickly. And then on that third try, Whiten did the same. Moves in. Croker has to go in. And Kotrick is literally... got, you know, he's on
an island.
Well, he's on the center, on the inside of the center, not even on the outside of the center, and that was it. But the Storm had about 65% possession in the first like 20 minutes, but the Raiders actually turned it around and at the end of the game had more possession than the Storm. Positive for the Raiders, I suppose you could say, like, they outscored the Storm in the second half, 10 points to 8. But, you know, when you give the Storms a lead, you know, an 18-point lead in the first half hour of a game, it is very difficult to tie them down. The Raiders showed some spark in the second half, and there was glimpses where they could have, you know, maybe had a comeback, but they were only ever, you know, the closest that they got, I think, was two converted tries, which definitely wasn't enough. Croker sort of weaved his magic, but the tries that they did score, that Croker scored both of them, they weren't offset plays. They were, Bateman was running across the line, dummying, jinking across the line, and put him in a hole, and then the other one was just sort of a bit of a wayward pass and a knock on and a fumble, and over they went. So wasn't convincing attack from the Raiders.
Our halves are still our problem, like, and it's been the problem the last few years. Our halves are not great, like, and so that makes things very difficult when your halves are not that great at being attacking halves. It makes it difficult to play off that.
Yeah, that's true. It was always going to, as you said, Pete, it was going to be a tough ask for the Storms, but I think as Raiders fans there at the game, and the one sitting next to us here in the room, I think would probably prefer a better effort in the first, you know, 20 minutes of a match, because that's essentially where they lost this game.
Yeah, I was probably more upset about week one in the Titans game when we were playing horribly and we smoked them than I was upset about the Melbourne game. I just thought Melbourne are better than us. I think we're not at that level as yet. Maybe we can get there if we start to put some performances together and stuff like that. But, you know, Melbourne are the bar, and they have been for the last, you know, 20 years.
20 years,
like,
yeah.
It's outrageous how long they've been the best team in the comp.
And a small little upside too for the Raiders. Rapana put on a massive hit on Chambers on his first game back in. So that was good to see that Rapana's had no issues with.
It was also good to see Will Chambers has learned his lesson on kicks and kicked a ball dead like the first set of the game, pretty much.
Oh, he's got to save them for Origin. He can't do it in the rounds.
He kicked one dead. I was like, he's warming up for Origin.
Goodness me.
It's good to see. Fulzy will be happy about that one.
I am happy to see Jesse Bromwich is playing quite well this year.
He's playing very well.
It'd be nice to have him back as one of the premier props in the game.
He would have had to be on his best behaviour, wouldn't he? He's back to the scene of the crime.
It's
back
one of those
in the nation's capital. Didn't go to which nightclub did he supposedly go to?
Cube.
Yeah. Is that still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
Okay. They're not on a sponsor, so we can't name them. We'll just bleep that out.
Anyway, I think it is a thing for props that you have some down years. Like, you get injured, and then you have a year or two where you struggle, and then you bounce back. James Tarmo is probably one that you could say had something similar. Like, there's a whole heap of evidence out there that props go downhill for a little bit and then bounce back.
Yeah.
I think injuries just impact them more than it does, say, the outside backs.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, again, the amount of work that these guys go through and have to get through in a game, and they take a hell of a beating too. Mm. So it would be harder and harder to come back up from that.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway. All right, moving on. Friday, 22 March, Broncos 29, defeating the Cowboys 10. Boys, Corey Oates just is on fire at the moment. He got another double in this game. It was the opening 10 minutes of this game was up and down from both sides until Corey Oates went over, and then it was just all over from there, pretty much.
It wasn't the blockbuster that, you know, the tight games that we were hoping for.
No, it looked like it probably was going to be in that opening 10 minutes until Corey Oates scored, and then it just seemed to be all Brisbane. Well, Taumalolo going off as well really did
hurt. That didn't help. And Tevita Pangai Jr. was the second beast of the night. He was,
oh, that's okay. That's my next point. Just keep.
Oh, sorry, mate. I thought we were just having a general chat, pal.
Tevita Pangai Jr. was awesome. He had 6 tackle busts, 109 metres, 1 line break, a trail of destruction, including injuring Taumalolo. So, and that was in the first 10 minutes of the game.
And people were worried about his hamstrings.
Yeah, unbelievable. He only played 44 minutes for that too, for that stat line, which is outrageous. Imagine if he could play minutes like Taumalolo, he'll be the same.
I reckon he can play minutes like Taumalolo.
I don't know if he can. I don't think he can at this point. I don't think he's got the fitness to do it. I just don't. I think he is, and his impact, I think, would be blunted by that, whereas Taumalolo's built up. Taumalolo used to be like a 50-minute player, and he's built up over time, and now he's like a 65, 70-minute player.
Because what's Pangai Jr., what, as in 23, 24?
Yeah, he's pretty young. Ex-Raider, that's good. I'm glad we let him go. Anyway, not bitter. Look, Morgan looked real dodgy for the Cowboys. His shoulder did not look good, and he jumped out of a whole heap of tackles. Other than that, boys, what else can we really say? The Broncos were all over these guys. Kahu and Jussie O got over late, but it was all over. And Milford put a field goal over just to get that 1 point.
He loves his field goals, doesn't he? Broncos, they look like world beaters in this game. And I don't
think forwards dominated.
The Cowboys. Sua,
Flegler, all those guys dominated.
The Cowboys weren't great, but you can't take away the way that the Broncos played. They just dominated across everything. So good for them. And it looks like the Cowboys have made a couple of changes this week from their team that was against the Broncos last week.
Yeah, and they're probably due. Saturday, 23 March, Sharks 20 defeating the Titans 6. Murphy.
Sharks finally get on the board for 2019. This is their first win after. The Titans. I mean, the Sharks. Yes, the Sharks scored 3 tries.
It wasn't real convincing, though, was it?
It was a horrible game.
Shows how bad the Titans
were. Ridiculous. I don't know. Carter got a double within the first 20 minutes, and I think it was the third try. Josh Dugan, who by the way had, I don't know if you saw his haircut. Ridiculous.
It's not great.
Awful.
Just an idiot. Anyway.
Is it Mahe Fanua bad, though? It's close, but it's not quite. Mahe Fanua's haircut is a
ring. Yeah, but I think he can pull it off. Josh Dugan cannot pull that
off. No, it's bad.
It's also, I would much rather see that on Fanua than Josh Dugan.
Also, if you spent the whole off-season going, I can't change my image and people think I'm an idiot and like being sensitive about it, don't come out round one with that haircut.
I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Look like a bigger tool.
Yeah.
Kind of
looks a bit like Foolsy, to be honest.
Yeah, I love it.
So, I don't know if you guys have seen watched this game or saw the highlights of it. The third try went to Dugan. It was an absolute mess of a try. It started on the left from 10 metres out, shifted across, Fifita got it, sort of batted it backwards. 2 Titans players had a chance at the ball, missed it. Tyrone Peachy, the ball literally bounced up and went straight through his arms, like sideways. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how you do that when you're trying to catch the ball.
You're saying he's maybe a little bit of dodgy Pakistani betting scandal.
I don't know someone of that caliber how you can miss. The ball didn't. It just literally popped straight up to him, and it just went straight through the hands, through the arms. Mm. So this game was done by the first half going into the second half. Titans had a few attacking raids, nothing too spectacular. Branko Lee managed to score early in the second half to give him a bit of a sniff, but Sharks just kept on coming. But the Titans just weren't good. No. AJ Brimson is now back in the halves, and I think obviously he'll be there due to the injury. And Peachy just tries to do too much. He's in the centres. He just tries to overplay his hand too many times. And they just were not good. I'm surprised that they don't get more go forward. With that massive pack that they've got, like it's not an inexperienced pack. It's a, it's a pretty handy forward pack, and I think a lot of teams wouldn't mind having that up front. But I just don't. Yeah,
spine's not good.
Mm. No, it's not. I mean, Gordon, as we've mentioned, we all rate Michael Gordon, but he's not a superstar fullback. He's a capable fullback, but He can't be the creative genius behind.
I think AJ Brimson needs to go back there. He was on fire at the back end of
last year. Absolutely, yeah. No, I think that's a fair point, Pete, because he does look good. He's kicking, his short kicking game is pretty impressive. Maybe he needs to get control in the halves, like as in he needs to be the one.
I think playing from the back was just perfect for him because he could inject himself.
Who else are they going to put in the halves? Yeah, because they've obviously got a couple of injuries there. So
of course. I think that's their biggest issue at the moment. But if they're down 0-3 this week, which they're also looking, staring down the barrel of, it could be time to make some changes.
And another try for Nicore too. I think first try scorer next. Anytime try scorer next week for Nicore.
I like it.
Free money.
27 runs, 290 metres, 4 offloads, a line break, and 27 tackles. Jai Arrow.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
In a beaten team. In a well-beaten side.
Good decision to trade him out in Supercoach, but we don't want to spoil that. Saturday, 23 March, Panthers 16, defeating the Knights 14. Another team that kicks a penalty goal loses the match, Muffy.
Yeah, I tell you.
Yes. So Knights kicked the first penalty goal. Mansell was ruled out for the Panthers with MWZ coming in before the match. The Panthers were poor in this game. 69% completion rate, 9 penalties. They just were poor again. That's back-to-back weeks have been very poor to start the season. It was lucky that the Knights were also not very good and not as good as they were the previous week. JFH went over for the Panthers early. However, Edric, I win the match with my intercept Lee, despite the fact costing the Raiders a grand final berth. Anyway, I've moved on from that. Got back on the board for the Knights and put them back in front. Isaiah Yeo for the Panthers copped another head knock, boys. Like, I think there's something going on there. Mitch Barnett scored late, making it closer than it probably should have been, and making a nervous wait for Fulsey and the Panthers fans, but they got the job done in the end. There were no real standouts in this game. It was a pretty poor game of football.
Yeah.
Not much else to report. Let's move on. Saturday, 23 March, Roosters 26, defeating the Seagulls 18. Muffy.
This was an interesting one. The Roosters scored 5 unanswered tries, 4 in the first half, and then scored again in the second half before Manly even got on the board. And it looked like it was going to be an absolute whitewash. The rain came down about 20 minutes in and it pelted down. It was, yeah, it turned into a real bit of a mud bath. And look, I don't know how, but Manly fought back and made this a contest in the last sort of 25 minutes. Manly actually started to play. Scored a couple of tries, obviously, for Nua. Jake Trbojevic and Moses Suli got one. And they... the last sort of 10 minutes, they were just at the Roosters and unlucky probably not to get another one. They were constantly just at them. Scoreline obviously finished 26-18. The Roosters definitely should have won this. They were the better team, but there would have been a few little flutters, I think, in the dressing rooms, and Trent Robinson wouldn't be that happy the way that they couldn't close out the game. For the Roosters, Luke Heary was an absolute magician in this game. He was... all 5 tries he had a hand in. Either he set the last pass up or put the kick through. There was one try, I think it was the last one in the first half, he put this depth little kick straight over the top. It missed the outreached hands of the winger. I think it might have been Tafua on that side. Landed straight into the lap of, I think it was Tapau. No, not Tapau. Tupu, I think. Yeah. In the pouring rain, this guy just had it on the string. So I can see why Origin talk is around Luke Keary at the moment, because he did have a great game. But again, had a few more runs on the board before we start talking that in for my mind. But again, another one for the Roosters, undefeated. Keep rolling on.
Yeah. Losing Kronk and Friend was probably the reason why the Roosters lost their way in the second half there, I would say. Anyway, moving on to Saturday, 24 March, Eels... oh, sorry, Sunday, 24 March, Eels 36 defeating the Bulldogs 16. Fulsey.
Two huge losses in a row for the Dogs against teams that I personally don't think will be in the 8 come the end of the year. It's not looking good. They actually led 10-0 at one stage, but then led in 30 straight points unanswered. Fergo has been a magnificent signing and was definitely my player of the game in this one. Napa also had a really good game, but How are you feeling about that spoon now, Muffy?
Yeah, look, not great. And again, the Dogs had a lot of possession in the first 20 minutes and they only put on 10 points, which is not great, but they scored 2 tries.
They did.
They're on it. And yeah, look, Parramatta came back at them. I think it was a disappointing scoreline.
Second half was atrocious.
The first was at 8 minutes of the second half. There was 2 intercepts, and I think I was watching the Channel 9 coverage at the time, and Middleton was there, and he said he cannot recall any time in his viewing of rugby league that there has been back-to-back intercept tries scored, which is exactly what happened. Just horrible balls, floating balls. The first one would have been a try the other way. And then the other one was just a stupid sort of little dinky offload.
It was bad. Mm. It does not look good for the Bulldogs. And whilst there's been sweeping changes this week, I don't know if it's going to be enough.
No.
Anyway.
Well, again, I like Dean Pay's attitude. You've got to do something and, you know, he's got nothing to lose.
No, of course not.
No one expects them to do any good now. What are they, minus 56 or something to the bad already? In two games.
They've conceded 76.
Yeah, they've conceded.
And scored as in their differential. 14? 16? Oh, 20.
Yeah.
That's
56. Nailed it.
Chief stats.
Sorry, I just had to do the maths in my head.
How'd that go?
Yeah, pretty bad.
Yeah, it did. Anyway, Sunday, 24 March, last game of the round. Tigers 34, defeating Warriors 6. Real arm wrestle for the first 30 minutes in this game until a penalty goal for the Tigers opened the floodgates. And the Tigers got up, Muffy, with the penalty goal going first. So
there you go. It only works
50% of the time.
90% of the time. I'd say 90% of the time. 90% of the time.
Anyway, 2 quick tries then to the Tigers, had a 12-0 halftime lead. Robbie Farah, that diving pass out of dummy half to Corey Thompson was outrageously good. Sprinting up to the line to throw the ball to Thompson wide. It was phenomenal. And Robbie's turning back the clock at the moment, making you happy, Foolsy. You probably want New South Wales to pick him based on his...
Oh, please do, please.
Anyway, Malmolo scored in the second half to make it 12-6. And it would look like maybe the Warriors had bounced back after a pretty poor first half. However, Thompson bagged a second. Fanua, Farah, Cheekham all scored in the game and it was game over. Questions are the Tigers that good defensively, or are the Warriors just the squad we thought they were at the start of the year?
I think the Warriors' first round win was maybe blown out a bit because, obviously, one, they were playing the Bulldogs, who we've already established aren't great, and two, they probably had... there was a lot of emotion in that game that they played. So maybe, yeah, they're sort of that middling...
Deflated a little bit.
Middling sort of, you know, possibly 7, possibly... 13th finishing side, I think.
Warriors, 67% completion, 44% of possession. Tigers had 90% completion and only 4 penalties to the Warriors' 8. That probably tells you the whole story of the tape. 38 missed tackles for the Warriors as well. You're not going to win many games when that happens. All right, it brings us to the end of the round review. So we're on to doing some hot takes, I think.
Ooh, the sports trench.
Ooh, indeed. So, boys, what are our hot takes this week from the weekend's games? Foolsy, what do you got for us?
Oh, I don't know if it's a hot take, but James Maloney should have been suspended. That was a shoulder charge, and if he was smaller, everyone would have said, yep, that's a suspension.
Bigger, you mean?
Bigger, yeah. If he was smaller, he probably wouldn't exist. But, yeah, that's a shoulder charge. I don't know why it's getting praised.
It's an interesting one. It's not really a hot take, but thanks.
That's a hot take.
You probably could have mentioned that in the review of that game, but you didn't.
So what's your hot take, Pete, just so we know what we should be following here?
Yeah.
Just give us an example of a hot take.
Tigers are the real deal and will make the grand final.
Oh, that's just being an idiot.
That's just stupidity.
Yeah.
Hot take, they're the real deal.
Oh, God.
I don't think they'll make the grand final. That was over the top. But they're the real deal. They're a good football side.
All right. Hot take.
Yeah.
Parramatta will make the top 4 this year.
Ooh, that is a hot take.
Hot take.
All right, fine. Hot take.
Yeah.
You have one first.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Keep saying Mary will be the first coach fired.
You can't.
And
take
it will
stuff.
Happen after this week.
Oh, no.
That is a hot take.
Who have they got this week?
Broncos in Brisbane.
Yeah, anyway. I think you're right. I agree.
The other one, Cowboys won't win a game in the first six rounds.
Oh, well, they've already won one, so that's going to be tough.
After now. Okay. Like, yeah, sorry. I think five rounds.
Oh, spicy.
They're bad.
Too hot for me, take.
All right, let's move on then, shall we, to the round three preview. Thursday, 28 March, Broncos versus the Dragons at Suncorp. Foolsy.
Yep, Corbin Sims is in for Josh Kerr, and there are no changes for the Broncos. Back-to-back double digits for losses for the Dragons. So I personally am quite surprised to see no real changes here, as we've discussed at length. Also, as I've said, I think the spine needs a change, and I think it's time to get Lomax in. The Broncos.
I think there was Tim Lafay's got a hamstring issue.
That's right. Late mail. He's on standby.
I think it should have been for the other center, to be honest, but that's okay. Broncos have the one win and one loss, but one was a close loss to a very good Melbourne side. The forward pack is struggling for the Broncos and it's for the Dragons, and it's rolling for the Broncos, and that will show in this game, and the Broncos will win by 8.
Oh, I've also got the Broncos by 8. Ewan Aitken and Ben Hunt have been talking the game up in the media, particularly Aitken saying the halves for the Broncos will wilt under pressure. Does he not realise the guy next to him who used to play for the Broncos cost the Broncos a grand final?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. About that.
And on the weekend, you and your mate Ben Hunt got trounced every time the Rabbitohs went that side of the field.
Yep.
Anyway, good decision to talk that up. 7 tries in 2 games that side of the field with Aitken on it.
That's awful. He needs to be dropped. He's playing horrendously. I like him. I think he's a good player, but at the moment, he's got to go.
Fair enough. All right, Muffy, who you got? By how many?
Oh, it has to be the Broncos, and up there, Broncos by 18.
18?
Whoa!
Yep, it's a big one.
I like it.
I do. Friday, 29 March, Raiders versus the Knights at GIO. Raiders, Bateman has been moved to the back row for Tapine, who's injured. Ryan Sutton starts at lock, and Hudson Young comes onto the bench. Former Knight, Hudson Young. Knights are unchanged. However, Connor Watson has a knee issue, but he's expected to play. This is going to be a close game, I think. Both squads are going to want to bounce back after last week. I could see a fair few points being scored based on the two teams' histories, despite the fact they've tried to focus on defense on the off-season. But I'm going to go my Raiders by 6, I think.
Nah, buggy team for the Raiders. Knights always have been, always will be. Knights by 6.
I think if you go back and look at their actual history, you'd be very wrong there.
Buggy team.
Yeah, you're very wrong there.
How many times have the Raiders beaten the Knights in the last 4 years?
Oh, do you want me to pull that up?
I don't think it's many. I don't think it's many. And the Knights were bad, real bad.
I'll give you a counter stat, mate. It's not really a stat, but word is that Connor Watson will not play. Kurt Mann will be one coming in at fullback instead of their nearly WM winning fullback in the halves. And on that stupidity alone, I am going Raiders by 4.
So the Knights won in round 2 last year. Raiders round 1 smoked them at home by 18. Knights 1-1. Raiders 1-1. Draw. Raiders.
Bogey team, as I said. Yeah, but the Knights didn't beat anybody in the couple of years where they got the spoon. They beat the Raiders.
The draw, that draw was... They only got one other win, didn't they, that year?
Yeah.
They got that draw and...
They got the win against the Raiders first, and then they got the draw, didn't they?
And that was it.
That was their 3 points from out from the buys. Anyway.
Anyway.
I'm sticking by. Knights by 6.
Fair enough. All right. Friday, 29 March, Eels versus the Roosters at ANZ. Muffy.
Blockbuster?
No, thanks.
No, thanks. I'm not purchasing today.
I'm out.
Look, based off how the two teams have played and, Fergo coming up against his old club, it might be.
So, for the Eels, they've suspended Michael Jennings back into the starting side, and he'll just replace Josh Hoffman, who gets dropped to reserves. The Roosters, Cooper Cronk and Jake Friend have been named to play at halfback and hooker, respectively. Victor Radley goes to lock. On the wing, Brett Morris is out, as mentioned, and Matt Ayuvula. That's not how you say it, but it's there's an I, there's a K, there's a V, and a U and an L in there. Very difficult.
I think that's
Ikevalu.
There you go. Good one, Pete. What it is? I think you're right. Good for you, Pete. Angus Crichton continues to come off the bench, and Lindsay Collins has been dropped out of this side altogether. Mitch Orbison will start in that second row again. Where is this one getting played, Pete? Where'd we say? ANZ.
ANZ, my friend.
So, not really a home game for anyone, even though the Eels take it. I think you've got to go the Roosters, but I think it's going to be a good game, particularly a Friday night. Depends on the weather. Hopefully the weather's not crappy like it has been in Sydney the last couple of weeks. Hopefully the weather holds out for a nice dry game, and I'll go the Roosters by 6.
Got the Roosters by 12. I think the Eels have been pretenders, and they'll come up against Cronk and Friend, who are both back in this week, and they're going to find it very difficult against an actual football side.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm going 16.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think Bulldogs are just garbage, and Panthers are pretty bad and played horrendously against the Eels.
Yeah, I think they flattered them, and they flattered the Knights too, the Panthers, both weeks. All right, Saturday 30 March, Seagulls versus the Warriors at Christchurch. Fulzy, Seagulls taking a game over to Christchurch.
Oh, they are. And guess what? Tommy Turbo is back. He's one of my favourites, Tommy T. He's back. So is Aladdin Fanua Blake.
Did you actually say Aladdin
Fanua? It's a good name.
It's not.
Elliot and Tanganoa will make way for those two, and the Warriors will be unchanged. I think it's really hard to call. This Manly team is totally different with Turbo, and much better with Fanua Blake, actually. My head says Manly, but in Christchurch, I'm going to tip the Warriors by 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Warriors by 4 as well. They are big ins for the Seagulls, but I just can't see it. I don't believe it.
I believe it, and I can see it, but I'm just being a bit emotional.
Fair enough. No. Understandable. Muffy, what do you got?
I think it's being played in Christchurch, so I think that's the key for the Warriors, and I think they'll do them by 6.
All right, Saturday 30 March, Cowboys versus Sharks at 1300 Smiles. For the Cowboys, major changes. Tamari Martin moves to fullback. Jake Clifford into the 5'8 role. Jussie O and Tom Opacic are gone, with Ben Hampton and Jordan Kahu the new center pairings. Cohen Hess starts for Taumalolo, who's injured, and Corey Jensen is onto the bench. For the Sharks, they're unchanged. Matt Moylan in some doubt with a knee injury, although he's supposed to play. Fecky also with a knee problem, and more than likely will be out with Brendan Zeri? I don't know what it is. On that bench waiting. I don't know who to pick here, boys. I think the Sharks have been very unconvincing to start the year. But I think the Cowboys are really struggling at the moment, and they lose someone of Taumalolo's character and abilities. I think that's going to make it very tough. I really like Clifford, and I liked him in the trials, so they could really bounce back up there. Can't tip it. I'm going to go the Sharks by 2 and probably regret it.
It's a tough one. No Taumalolo. Sharks have been playing okay. It's Gallen's
29th game.
There you go.
Breaking the record. ET's record.
Does that get him over the line? Possibly.
That's kind of why I've got it.
Yeah, I wasn't listening. I'll go Sharks by 4, Pete. Lock it in.
I still think that Cowboys forward pack, even without Taumalolo, is very strong. Good changes they've made. I am going to give the Cowboys by 2 a go.
Fair enough. That Sharks pack's just as good, though, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, is it, though? Like, so who are the second? We've got Hess, Cooper, McLean, Scott. Asiata's been playing really well.
Pryor played Origin last year. Vita's been absolutely murdering people.
Yeah, but then you look at the back row, Capewell and
Nakora is legit.
He's very good. He's very good, but he's not like... let's not say he's same as Gavin Cooper or guys like that yet.
No, but the way he's been playing, I think he's been playing better than Gavin Cooper.
Oh, yeah, I agree, but...
You can only perform on your form.
I still think there's a lot there for the Cowboys and up in Townsville.
Fair enough. All right, Saturday 30 March, Panthers versus Storms at Carrington Park. Muffy, got anything about Carrington Park for us?
I do, Pete, I do. It's on Howick Street down there in sunny Bathurst.
Right.
Do you know Bathurst is the first place that they found gold?
Really?
Struck gold in Bathurst.
Wow.
In New South Wales or
in the country. It's called the Golden Area down in Bathurst.
The whole country. Bathurst was the first.
The whole of Australia.
Australia.
It's
an interesting one.
Yep. 10,000 capacity at the ground there at Horwick Street, Carrington Park. So I think based on previous games, they should get a full crowd there. So this is a Panthers home game that they take down there. Normally it's the Raiders, but they've decided to say, hey, who wants to come down? The Storms do. So
is that how they went?
Yeah.
That's the exact phone conversation.
So for the Panthers, Josh Mansell is coming back from the shoulder injury, so he goes on to the wing. The W, Wateni Zalesniak, the M, Wateni Zalesniak, goes out. Regan Campbell-Gillard comes back on after starting from the bench last week. Anti-vaxxer Frank moves from the interchange bench to the starting side, falls in. And he replaces, he comes on to in Isaiah Yeo's spot, and Fuimaiono has been added to that bench just in case Isaiah Yeo can't go again. And for the Storms, no surprise, there is no changes from the win against the Raiders. I think the Panthers will give a good showing against the Storms there in Bathurst, but I don't know, it's hard to tip against the Storms this early in the season the way that they've already performed. So I'm going to have to go the Storms by 8.
Storms by 10.
I think the Storms are headed for another top four finish based on the way they've started this year. They've won 6 of their last 7 against the Panthers as well, and I think they're going to take this one as well. Storms by 4. Sunday, 31 March, Tigers versus the Bulldogs at Campbelltown. Foolsy.
Yes, what another great free-to-air game we'll have on Sunday. The Tigers are unchanged, but there's finally some life from Dean Pay. Meaney will go to fullback. Hopewade will go to centre. Jaden Okunbor will go to the wing. Crichton is out. Corey Harawira and I will go to the second row. Raymond Faitala-Marina has been dropped. Reese Martin, someone Smith, and someone Ogden will come onto the bench. Montoya.
Someone.
Yeah, I didn't write their first name. So. Montoya. I probably should have just said their last name. But it's not Remus Smith on the bench, everyone. I don't think so. Don't worry about that. Montoya and Soaso Sue are gone. So I think the Dogs do have to try something. I don't know if this is that something. I still am not in love with this Dog side. Tigers have shown enough and they should win. And I think by 8.
Got some things for you, lads. Tigers have never won their first 3 games in their 20 years of being a West Tigers outfit.
Ooh.
This is the first week ever they've led the comp at the end of a round. First week ever.
Bulldogs have won their last 5 at Campbelltown.
Well, bodes well here, Pete.
I think the Bulldogs are going to win the game just based on gut feel, but I can't do it. Tigers by 8.
Well, I think the changes that they've made, again, who knows if they're going to work.
Don't
but
do it.
Who knows if they're going to work, but it's,
he's got to do it. He's got to have some faith. He's got to do it early on.
Oh, God.
I'm just so happy that Montoya has been shifted because he is useless. And I like the addition of Chris Smith on the bench. He is a good... he was awesome in New South Wales Cup
someone
last year
Smith,
for the Dogs.
Yeah, someone Smith. I think his name's someone Smith.
So I think that's a good addition. And Big Reese is back. What can you say? He was on the TV on Sunday. He didn't look fat at all. He looked fine. I don't know what they're talking about. Dogs by 6.
Yep, fair enough.
Hiya.
You gotta have a crack early on because I don't think it's gonna get better. Sunday, 31 March, Rabbitohs versus the Titans at ANZ. For the Rabbitohs, no changes. For the Titans, no changes. What a good decision. GI is carrying a shoulder problem, maybe a late withdrawal with Corey Allen coming to the side. Should he be ruled out? For the Titans, they're severely depleted. I can't see them beating the Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs won all 6 of their games at Cbus since 2011. Rabbitohs by 18.
Yeah, I can't see the Titans even getting close in this. I'm going to go Rabbitohs by 14, Pete.
I'll meet you in the middle at 16.
Fair enough. All right, that brings us to the end of the round 3 preview. So let's move on to some Supercoach, shall we?
The Sports Trenches Fantasy Overview.
Lads, trading out Jai Arrow for Tau Malolo was a big mistake by me.
Did that in round one. You did pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, I didn't trust Arrow was going to get minutes, and he's made me regret it. And then Tau Malolo made me regret it about 10 minutes into the game. So that was a bad one.
Did you do the old... thinking about doing the reverse trade, getting swapping him back out again?
Couldn't do it. It was too late.
No, as in like this week?
No, I'm not doing that. No, he can stay out of my squad now. I'm going to just live in my...
sadness.
Yeah, pretty much exactly.
Wallow in your misery.
I dug my own grave. I'm going to keep digging. Anyway, what are we going to do this week, lads? Garrick has job security, you would think. Probably could bring him in. Braden Burns, another one.
Possibly.
And maybe Robbie Farah is worth considering if you want to jump to Cook real quickly.
Mm.
It looks like Robbie will make about between sort of 60 and 80K this week.
Yeah, Robbie Farah is the top there. Jake Friend is not a bad option too. He's minus 25 as well.
You got another week on
Friend.
Yeah,
you can wait on that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Pete. Good point. Mm. For me, the hooker spot, I had to make a decision because the Kieran Holland experiment is not going well.
Oh, yeah, really?
No, so I've actually... I'm going to get in Reid Marnie. He's coming in. He probably should have been there in the first place.
Yeah, he's been quite good to start the year.
Yeah, and again, as we've mentioned, it's all about making the cash at the moment. And you know, you've got to look at players that are going to... In the minuses, it's going to make cash. And alternatively, look at guys that are going to lose... cash hand over fist in the first couple of weeks. It's a tough call, but yeah, like guys like Sean Johnson.
Holding.
Have a look at him.
Holding Teddy. Got to hold, I think. If you've got Tau Malolo, you got to trade him out. I'm holding. Because I've given up already. I'm
insane.
Sad.
Insane.
Any other trades this week, Foolsy?
I don't love this trade, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to get rid of Tohu Harris and Jordan Kahu, and I'm going to bring in Sam Burgess and Braden Burns.
Yeah, Sam Burgess, based on what he's done to start the year, is probably a must-have. If you didn't have him at the start, he's probably a must-have now.
I don't have Sam Burgess, but looking at the team that I have, there's too many people that are going to make money. So for me, Burgess is not... I would love to put him in, but there's other more pending issues in my team. I have done a controversial thing, and I have got rid of Sean Johnson.
Ooh! For?
Luke Keary, who is going to make a mozza. Luke Keary is due for big price rises in the 5'8 spot, which is where I had Johnston. So I've made that call. I'm... I made